I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away, getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real shit, I'd probably die martyr. They wanna ride the wave, I hope you got your surfboard, cause it's a high tide though, we try and ball like the Carters.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey. I'm here with all four tools today. We have CSPM McLaughlin.
What up, what up, what up?
Oh, there he is.
Coach Brandon Lumberg.
What's up, man?
What's going on? No whistle? Hey, there it is.
There it is. Hey, it's fine.
Coming fat off his new scouting video editing job. How you doing there, man? You going bug-eyed from all the film yet? Brandon's in the lab right insane. Now.
I've been staring at computer monitors for over 60 hours in the last 4 days. And yeah.
60 hours. So,
yeah. But not very intriguing matchups, but it is what it is. I did the Michigan game, which was fun. Ironically, nice. That was the quickest one.
You got 10 seconds for Michigan Nuggets. Who's the player to watch on your squad this year?
I think Cade McNamara at quarterback showed a lot. That's the backup. That's a true freshman.
How the hell are you going to give him 10 seconds and then cut him off?
No. But that's the backup, J.J. McCarthy, the true freshman who made that throw. He came in late in the third or whatever, or maybe it was actually early fourth, but he made that throw, and I just can't believe it. I had to watch it numerous times. I'm like, holy crap. But Blake Corum at running back. Then they have another true freshman at running back, Donovan Edwards, and then obviously Hassan Haskins. So they have a little bit of thunder and lightning with the running back situation. Pretty intriguing. Big game this week against a team, ironically, who lost to an FCS team. So not as frightening as it looked on paper ahead of time. It's the Washington Huskies. They lost to Montana. 10-7 at home. Yeah. Montana.
Yeah, I'm
aware. And yeah, so.
Nate Nasty Parker, what's up, man?
that caught me on guard. Mixed up some of the order of the words. I'm doing well. Shout out Michigan State last week.
Oh yeah, them too. That running back? Holy
dude,
crap.
Kenneth Walker out of nowhere. But anyways, that's my 10 seconds.
Best running back in the nation resides in UCLA, unfortunately.
Transferred from Michigan because how loaded their backfield is. It's insane.
Yeah. It's nasty.
Anyways, we'll have to get a college football recap going pretty soon here. So, but yeah, no, I'm doing well, Woody.
Kenneth Walker's a transfer, too.
Hell yeah.
He is.
All right, guys, we're going to dive right into it. Today is going to be a juicy, juicy show. We have a... Oh, wow. Le'Veon Bell may play in the opener. That's great.
Yeah, I just read the same thing.
Yeah. So we have a juicy, juicy show for you today. We are going to give our preseason predictions, the awards, the division winners, and the Super Bowl. And so we're going to dive right into it. We got a little bit of news to cover. Nothing crazy. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this. Josh Norman, late pickup by the San Francisco 49ers. He had been in limbo on who he was going to sign with. He had made it clear. I actually watched the video of him live talking to his agent as he accepted it. He wanted to sign with a contender. He's going for a Super Bowl. And I think that he'll have more success with the 49ers this year than he had with the Bills last year because – an elite pass rush has helped him early in his career. Like when he was at Carolina, when he had that elite pass rush, that was when he succeeded most. He takes advantage of quarterbacks that are under pressure. Do you guys think this could be like a needle mover, or this is just league average mean getting by with a veteran cornerback?
In the second part you said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just hurry up, move on, add a little bit of depth at corner. And that's it.
Yep. Cool. And the same thing, anyone different from that? I figured we all thought the same thing.
Thanks.
I'm good.
Yeah. Marcus Trufant, late pickup by the Saints. That same thing, essentially. I like the Josh Norman pickup. I don't know how much Trufant has left in the tank. Was he even rostered last year?
I don't know. But I think he is the little brother of Desmond Trufant, who was drafted out of Washington back in, I want to say, 03, 04. It was a draft with Terrence Newman.
Yeah, well, Marcus Trufant has been great for Atlanta back in the day.
Yeah, so, you know.
Saquon Barkley on track to play week one. The only reason I put this in the news, I think this is like we risking a franchise player here to rush him back.
Yeah, yes, it's a mistake. Yes. It's a mistake.
It's a mistake.
Wait. Just wait. Just wait.
Started his ass on just the pup. I don't even get it. Yeah. Put his ass on the pup list, man. Yeah. And don't you let him come Booker. Back until week six.
I mean,
week six? I don't know about week six.
I would do week three. I was thinking week three.
I was thinking week three. Week three.
What do you care about people's health? You just care about when.
It's a struggle without Saquon out there.
Yeah, no. So when we're looking at this from like an athletic training perspective, if it were an Achilles last year, which it wasn't, just to be clear, it was an ACL. I'd be more concerned about him coming back this early. My expectation is that he is for sure on a snap count. Like, there's no way they're gonna run him full bore right into the ground. To be honest, I personally like that they're getting him out there, getting him some game reps early, let him adjust to the speed of the game. So that way, like kind of like what he said, anticipating coming back maybe week three, maybe CJ even week six, he's coming back fresh. He's ready. He's adjusted to the speed of the game.
I like it.
No, I like it. I mean, we signed Booker for a reason. Like, Booker had an amazing year last year for the Raiders, best year of his NFL career by far. And they signed him to a nice little backup deal. Like, lean on him for the first couple weeks. Like, you're paying the man. Let your star player get to that point. You know what I mean? If I see him get more than 10 carries this game, I'm going to just start sweating. I'll probably be sweating anyway, just getting up from the couch. But that's a whole other story. Beat you to it, CJ.
Took the words right out of his mouth.
And the food. but let's dive right into it. AFC West. Super Bowl contenders, obviously. Kansas City Chiefs. You have the Denver Broncos. Los Angeles Chargers, formerly of San Diego. And now the Las Vegas Raiders. What thoughts?
Kansas City Chiefs in a runaway, per usual.
I mean, I think they'll drop one to the Chargers in the division. They'll drop one to the Raiders, and that's it.
I was going to say, I love Denver's defense this year. That if they can get non-turnover play from Teddy Bridgewater, and they pound the rock with their great duo of Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams, rookie out of North Carolina, they could be a problem. They really could. The fact that they have Von Miller back and Bradley Chubb, he's came into his own a little bit, playing without Von Miller on the other side. With that secondary, they could be real tough in that division. As long as they don't turn the ball over.
Put a percentage on it.
20.
Who's number two?
20. You think there's a 20%? You think there's a 20% chance that the Denver Broncos win that division?
Yeah, because simply that there's not an elite defense against them in that division.
I would say there's a 20% chance that Patrick Mahomes gets severely injured this season. So I guess. I guess I'm with you there. I take it back. 20%. Like, now that I think about this logically, like 20% isn't that crazy.
Yeah.
I'd say who's number two?
5%. I think the Chargers should finish number two. But the thing is, it's only if Derwin James stays healthy.
Yeah. Chargers defense is built, you know, specifically to defend against the Chiefs. So if they are, you know, healthy and they stay healthy, I feel like they could be the number two. But Denver's sneaky good, man. Like, they've got a lot of talent. It's just the quarterback position that kind of sets them back.
Teddy B isn't going to lose it for you, though, right?
Right.
And I think that's why they went and got him, because he's not going to lose it. In regards to the Chargers, I really feel like the only person who can fuck this up is Joe Lombardi. That's it. That's my only concern about the Chargers is the OC Joe Lombardi.
The health of Austin Eckler is real, too.
That's key.
Like, we're seeing he had come out and he said he's going to be the Alvin Kamara of this offense. The fantasy world has just been flating him all offseason. Just that he's everyone's biggest sleeper in first round. And the potential's all there. The yards per touch, the fantasy points per touch, it's all there. But this man, he just gets banged up. He's small. Yeah, he's not a lead back.
That's a fantasy football problem. That's not a real football problem. Well, and the reason I say that is...
Wait a second. What's your famous quote, though? The best ability
is durability. But that's why I said it's a fantasy football problem. We're talking about real football right here. Eckler, is he a great talent? Yeah. But we've seen Herbert do really well without him. So he's not... He's not vital to Justin Herbert's success. He's not a traditional every down running back. So he's not vital to the success of the run game necessarily. I get he's a chess piece out there, but running backs are devalued offensively for a reason. So that's what I'm saying. Fantasy listeners out there, yeah, it's a concern. But if you're an actual Chargers fan, I don't think his loss really sets you back. I mean, they got a lot of running backs back there. Again, he's a chess piece that you no longer have. But Justin Herbert, if he goes down, you're screwed. Like, you got to pick and choose. It's early in the football season. Everyone's going to deal with injury. Big and or little, everyone deals with it. But as long as your best quarterback don't go down, your best receiver, your best lineman, I mean...
And you have a competent front office who can manage.
Well, I feel like they have a little bit more depth now, especially wide receiver and offensive line. But at running back, they Justin Jackson's had a problem staying healthy. He's like our only decent backup. Joe Kelly showed a lot of potential coming out of college. And he showed his first couple games in, maybe there's something there. But he really fell off. He didn't show much as the season went on. So... there's not a lot behind Austin Eckler. That's the one thing I worry.
But it doesn't need to be. You just said the offensive line got better, right?
That's true. That should boost all of them. Yeah.
Running backs are devalued for a reason, bro, because they can throw you back there in an I formation. And if the offensive line doing what they're supposed to, bro, you'll be averaging 4 or 5 yards a carry.
No, averaging about a half to a yard. But he'll still get he'll get enough forward push to get a yard. It's a positive net.
Oh yeah. All you gotta do is just take some chicken wing sauce or grease and just wipe it all up and down the guard's crack and be like, hey, go there.
Yeah, go that way.
That's gnarly. Oh man. Hey, I'll give you all a little sleeper to look out for that might be a big piece this season for the Los Angeles Chargers. The reason that they felt so comfortable letting Hunter Henry grow, they did bring in a veteran presence because they want to make sure that they have some depth there. But young Donald Parham Jr.
Yeah,
he showed some real flashes last year, and I'm just saying, he could be.
He was really good in the other. What was it? It wasn't XFL. It might have been the other league. It might have been XFL. But sorry to interrupt you.
Or the American Football League or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. He was really good. He was showing out in that league. So
yeah. Well, he showed some real flashes last year. So I'm that's one to keep an eye on this year. So everyone's got Kansas City across the board, right?
Yeah, there's no other.
Yeah. Okay. So AFC East, we're going to jump right into it. We got the Buffalo Bills, the New England Patriots with new starter, young Mac, the New York Jets with a young rookie, Joker. Zach Wilson. And who's the Joker?
Mac Jones with his walk to the stage.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And Mac then and Mac and Cheese. And then the ugly stepchild of that division. The Miami Dolphins, who could slide into the playoffs this year.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. That's fair.
This is one of the division's three teams could.
Yeah.
I don't know. The AFC is so deep. I have a problem seeing three this year. I'd be really surprised. But you never know. If Mac Jones can play mistake-free football, Josh McDaniels has come out and said he is perfect for my offense.
It's Josh McDaniels' comfort zone, you know? Yeah. It's where he wants to be.
And Josh McDaniels gets no credit because he had that weird coaching thing with Denver. Then he backed out of the Indianapolis job. The man's still top five offensive mind in the NFL.
Yep. He's just waiting for his time.
Yeah, there's a reason why people keep entertaining his foolishness. He's that good.
It's actually smart, though, that he may have backed out of those situations. I think the Indy job had something to do with facilities and different...
living in Indianapolis.
With that, but, it's really, really nice. like their stadium, everything. Indianapolis is actually a beautiful city. It's similar to Columbus.
Indianapolis
is
a nice place to learn.
McDaniels was more of an uppers guy, and Irsay was a downer guy.
Yeah,
you got to worry about a shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was worried about them about spending
shit being in the driveway. I'm sure in Indianapolis.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. It's cornfields. There's lots of corn. Actually, the shit has corn.
Not in Indian.
The only difference.
Indianapolis is like the it's like a metro city. There's no fucking corn in Indy.
Excuse my language.
It's outside the city. I've driven by Indianapolis, like right outside the city limits. There's cornfields.
That's funny. That's true.
So we have the the my sleeper team in this division. I think they're going to slide in the playoffs this year. I think they're taking the next step, and it's simply because I got a man crush on their coach, man. Brian Flores. I think this is the year he gets them in that next step. Tua's already taking shots downfield in preseason. That was the main problem. And I heard someone make a great point last year. Chan Gailey was the offensive coordinator for them last year. That was Ryan Fitzpatrick's guy. He literally built that offense for Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's the offense that Ryan Fitzpatrick has had the most success in his entire career. He Jets, Bills, every time he's put up numbers, it's been with Chan Gailey as his offensive coordinator. I think this year that now the offense is being designed to his strength. We're going to see a lot more rollouts, a lot more play action, stuff that's going to push him down the field. And with a familiar target like Jalen Waddle, who can really beat the defense, I think he's going to be – he's got weapons this year. If Devontae Parker stays healthy and you got Jalen Waddle and then you got Will Fuller running out of the slot, that's some real game winner speed.
And Waddle's not even fully healthy. And the dude is still one of the fastest players out there,
and look,
which is scary.
Just to add to that, like Chan Gailey is a really good OC. I didn't know he was still coaching, so that's just wild.
They brought him in just for Fitzpatrick.
He's a really good OC, and then also you mentioned Tua, and the offense is going to be designed towards Tua's strengths. It's going to be a lot of quick ball, you know, just a lot of bubble screens.
Yep.
A lot of RPOs,
college
stuff where his receivers can get it. And just like when he was at Alabama, it was all about, you know, getting the ball to the receiver in a certain spot so he can just catch it and run. We're going to see a lot of that in Miami.
I forget who their QB coach is. I talked about this like in the spring, but he is a college guy too. So they brought him in to really work with Tua and kind of dumb things down to that level to make it easier, kind of like Josh Allen.
Yeah, I'm a Miami fan this year. I'm a pseudo, like, I'm a pseudo fan for Miami. That's my second team this year. I usually don't do that, but you know what? Chris Greer, shout out to that GM.
CJ, welcome.
Oh, yeah, I'm not as bad as you.
Keeping it warm for you. Oh, no, you're here, baby. You can't back out now.
All right, well, fine. Then I like Miami because they got a black GM and a black head coach.
And a Trump-supporting owner.
Is he?
He donated like massive amounts to the Trump campaign. There was actually like theories floated around online that the reason why he hired a black GM and a black coach was because he got so much pushback from being a giant Trump supporter.
Oh, wow. Probably.
I don't understand why.
I meant how they do.
Well, he didn't want to lose free agent because he's a very competitive guy. I was reading about it. He specifically didn't want to lose like players because of his political viewpoints. So he wanted to make sure that there was
he's trying to separate that from the equation altogether without, because
exactly.
I would have never known him being a University of Michigan alum. I would have never even known or thought about that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Why? Because University of Michigan alum aren't.
I don't consider any university or anybody really affiliated with most universities to be.
I consider everyone at higher learning.
You didn't go to Liberty University.
Yeah, minus that school.
Yeah,
and there's a few out there, but yeah, I just don't see it like that. I didn't know anything about that until Woody pointed it out. Interesting.
And another player to watch on Miami this year, who we've seen it in preseason, he's one of my fantasy sleepers this year, is Mack Gesicki. He is getting a lot. He's the deep threat in that offense. Gesicki.
That's fine.
Okay. All right. But
potato, potato.
Yeah. Well, how is it pronounced otherwise?
I don't know.
How you say it. I don't know if it's just sicky, good sicky. I've heard both, but
I've heard Matt. Same. I committed hard to Gesicki and I went with it.
Well, it's not That's even fine. You're pretty good on the last names. It's the first names.
It is.
Like Joshua was Joe Kelly.
Was it
Joe Kelly?
Well,
yeah, but it's all good. I'm a Joe Kelly fan.
I'm glad I got the J right. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so Gesicki's, he's been catching a lot of deep passes down the seam, like in the middle. And Tua's really looking for him. So, like, we haven't seen a tight end as like a big deep threat in a while. So, that's someone to look for on that squad. But let's talk about New England before Brandon bursts in his pants. Mac Jones, go ahead, Brandon. Tell us what's going on.
It's no longer. I'm not like big on New England anymore. You know, like that was a Tom Brady. That was a Tom Brady thing.
There's a week change. Last week you were all about it. You're like, oh, I think they're gonna make the playoffs.
No, I think that. I think the Bills ultimately are gonna win the division. I think that the Patriots are. You know, we're gonna find out right away, week one, right? You know, it's Patriots and Dolphins, so. I feel comfortable. I just the rookie quarterback versus the more experienced quarterback, even if Tua has only been in the league for a year and Josh Allen on the other side, it's just going to be hard for these rookie quarterbacks to come in here, you know, Wilson or Mac Jones in this division for that matter and be great. But I do think Jones has a great opportunity. He's got the structure around him. He's got the players and just don't make mistakes. Be Teddy B for a year.
Yeah. And I think CJ made an excellent point the other day because we were talking about the value of Damian Harris. And I talked about the concerns about how good Ramondre Stevenson has looked behind him. And it kind of made me fade because I was a big Damian Harris guy all preseason. Then after watching how well Ramondre played, I was like, ooh, I don't know. But CJ said Belichick may run the ball 70% of the times.
Yeah.
they legit might, like, they got enough to push two backs. Legitimately.
Yeah, it's carries to be had for sure.
Yeah.
Run, punt.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard Matthew Judon has looked amazing in Belichick's schemes. Like, he could have, like, the best year of his career this year. So
Didn't New England have a linebacker tearing ACL this preseason?
It wasn't Hightower, so it doesn't matter.
It wasn't?
No, okay. It wasn't. Hightower's back this year. That's another person returning that makes a huge difference. You got the heart and soul.
Yeah, he does. Him and Chung.
Mm-hmm. Very true. But let's talk Buffalo. Well, actually, let's save Buffalo for last. Let's talk New York Jets. New York Jets, I mean, some people think that with that roster, they're going to be in contention for the lowest win total in the league. But I think that, like, we all love Zach Smith here. Over under 5 wins.
I'm gonna, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I'm gonna say over, reluctantly. I think this is gonna be a really competitive division. As Brandon said earlier, it's a chance 3 teams might get in. I think Buffalo wins it. I don't think they're running away with it, though. I think, like I said, it's gonna be a really competitive division. I think the Jets will be able to win some games here and there. I'm hearing, you know, a lot of praise for Zach Wilson. I've even heard some of the greats, you know, come out. Tony Romo came out. And
yeah,
look,
he did.
Tony Romo was like,
Tony Romo
this guy,
really did. Yeah.
He's like, this guy is like, he got a chance to be really,
truth.
Really good at things I see. Yeah.
Romo's got an eye. Like,
he does.
Speaks, yeah. You gotta listen to that. That spoke very far for me. So, Brandon, you think over under 5 wins?
Under.
I'm leaning towards under too, but I love Salah. If he can get that defense like real tough with a pass rush, that could change a lot of things.
I'm gonna say this: a bad team in the NFL, a bad team wins 2-3 games every year. Yeah. If Zach Wilson is who they say he is, even as a rookie, a rookie stud will get you 2 more wins.
That's true. That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? He can lead us if he's what they say he is. That game where it's 20-18 with 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, even as a rookie, he's gonna get you a field goal range to kick the field goal. So that's why I'm gonna go the over, because I'm starting to believe the hype.
Yeah, the hype is definitely building. It was a late season hype. It's crazy. That's what they need.
Who does he play for again?
The New York Jets.
Ooh, you know what? Yeah. Exactly. That's the only thing to kind of get me, right? That's the only thing why I channel
it. No, it's true. It's like, well, that's the crazy thing, and this is what the draft analysts were talking about on draft night. Can this kid from Utah, who's never been, like, exposed to, like, media scrutiny and all this crazy stuff with his hot-ass mom survive in a volatile situation? You haven't seen his mom? Oh, bro. It
sounds like a Google search after the show.
Yeah, go check that out. But she
might have to hop on Reddit.
Don't give away the secrets. But no, like literally, like this is what they talk about, the wave of New York media scrutiny. This kid comes in, throws one bad pass, and it was an avalanche for the first 2 weeks of the preseason. People are starting to burn his jerseys. They were ditching him already. And he came out calmly and he said, no, don't worry. I'm literally just pressing the defense, trying to see what I can get away with in the NFL that I couldn't get away with in college. And then those last two appearances, he looked amazing. And he's really built up all that hype. And I'm surprised. I was wondering if he could handle it. And it seems so far he's passed the initial opening exam, the pop quiz. So it'll be fun to watch this kid grow. I'm excited for it. The Buffalo Bills. This is our consensus winner. Everyone's going here. Josh Allen, MVP contender. Wondering if we can unseat Patrick Mahomes here, but with his rushing, it's the main thing. Can he stay healthy and be this?
I think he's the MVP. He'll probably be honestly, the MVP.
That's we'll throw that down the line. But
good job, Nate.
I think it's less about Josh Allen's ability to run and if he can stay healthy, and I think it's more about can Buffalo actually establish a run game this season and not have Josh Allen run. I think it's so Woody, I agree with your take on it, on Josh Allen staying healthy, but it's not about his ability to be able to run. It's about Zach Moss and Devin Singletary's ability to move the chains.
Agree. Yeah.
I like that. And also this season, like everyone's been so gung-ho about Zach Moss, especially in fantasy. People have been drafting him like the fifth round, saying, thinking he's going to take over. Devin Singletary's looked amazing this offseason. And the running backs coach has said he's coming in, it's like night and day from last year. He's dialed in. I think he had a little slip up, like a sophomore slump. And I think Devin Singletary could legit hold on to this number one job all season.
Yeah, that's the key. Run the foot. If they can get their run game going. I know early in the preseason they had Mitch Trubisky starting, and I watched one of their first preseason games. They ran the ball like 10 times in a row. Mitch Trubisky didn't even throw a pass, and they were just so centered and focused on the run game. It tells you all you need to know. They want to be able to run the football. If they are able to run the football, then they become even more frightening as a team. And that's the key.
A sneaky little signing for their running back room. They brought in Matt Breida. Yeah. Matt Breida's got some game-breaking speed, and with a creative offense like the Bills, I could imagine him coming in, taking like five carries a game. You never know. He could have a nice little impact on that running back position.
Yep, for sure.
CJ, tell us about your – I know you've been preaching since last season. I'm full board on the wagon. Gabriel Davis, he's the number two on the depth chart right now.
I mean, you would like to think so. They're really deep at receiver.
Obviously, Emmanuel Sanders. Diggs
there.
Beasley.
You got Cole Beasley there. You just added Emmanuel Sanders. So I would like to think that Gabriel Davis had a great season last year, given what he was expected to do. He was a great deep threat, deep speed. By the end of the season, I do expect him to be their sole WR2. But I guess we'll kind of wait and see. If there is a sleeper I would choose on that offense, it would be Gabriel Davis. We see the arm talent that Josh Allen has. So, and then obviously Cole Beasley, he's running the slot. So I like Buffalo. I like their offense. I'm with Nate. I'm with Brian. I'm with all of you guys. Buffalo has to be able to run the ball because it protects Josh Allen. Like, we've seen him not be able to run the ball and still succeed, right? So that says a lot about Josh Allen and the Buffalo offense alone. But it's going to be even better if Josh Allen doesn't have almost 500 yards rushing and 6 to 8 touchdowns. Like, you don't want that. And that shit is dangerous because they're not even really designed runs. Some of that shit is he's running for his life out there and he makes something happen and then he dives for a first down. He built like Cam Newton, we seen Cam Newton just get destroyed. And for 4 or 5 years, we haven't seen him be the same person. So,
definitely when you lead with that shoulder, when you're a big man and you lead with that shoulder, but then you got to throw with that same shoulder, it takes its toll.
Just slide, man. Just slide. Yep,
just slide. Exactly. It's crazy how we talk about this wide receiver core for Buffalo, and we don't even mention, like, they have a great young tight end in Dawson Knox. Like, on any other team, he would probably be more of an offensive cog. It's just, he's like a 30 catch per game, 5 TDs. That's Hell his yeah. upside there. And he's better than that. Right before we pass Buffalo, can I ask Ed Oliver, are we talking bust this year if he doesn't do something? This was a top 10 pick.
Probably a bust. Probably a bust.
I don't think he'll be a bust, but I don't think he's going to be what Buffalo wants him to be.
So he's a bust.
It's a little bit of a bust. Yeah. Now, guys, AFC North. Now, this just popped up on ESPN, and if this isn't a bad omen for the way the Bengals have been going this offseason, I don't know what is. A young giraffe that was named after Joe Burrow after he was drafted number one overall at the Cincinnati Zoo has just passed. It was 1 year old.
So, damn.
Heading into the season, Joe Burrow, young giraffe Joe Burrow is no longer with us, and neither is Joe Burrow's ACL. He's got a cadaver ACL in there, just like me.
Yeah, that's probably better.
Well, we'll see.
Better ACL.
Hasn't been looking good so far in the preseason. So the AFC North, let's talk about them. We got the Baltimore Ravens, Pittsburgh Steelers, Cincinnati Bengals, and the
Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns, thank you. And I probably just forgot maybe the yeah, that's right. But I probably forgot maybe the division winner. Last year, Cleveland was the belle of the ball. We have a different Baltimore team this year. The offensive linemen are back. They're all pro off right tackle. And they're definitely going to be better. Pittsburgh, they lost Bud Dupree, but they had already lost him last year, and the defense was still nasty. So they're bringing the team back, and they're adding a weapon in Najee Harris, Heisman candidate. But I still think that Cleveland is going to take this division, like, just flat out. I think with their running back duo, they have the best offensive line in the division. And, I mean, OBJ's looked great coming back from his injury. So if they can harness his talent and use his explosion to take the top off that defense, that they're going to be tough to stop on offense. And then they added people on defense. They added Clowney. And, I mean, Clowney may have been, like, an overrated addition last year for the Tennessee Titans, but Myles Garrett with Clowney on the other side, that's some elite talent right there.
Yeah, Cleveland added a lot. They got better on defense. The offense is everything that you said it is, with the addition of John Johnson in the secondary too, Jadeveon Clowney. But actually here in the AFC North, I'm going to actually go with the Baltimore Ravens as the division winner. I'm going to go Pittsburgh second, and I'm going to actually go Cleveland third. I think they'll miss the playoffs.
What do you think pushes Baltimore over the top this year?
Look, Harbaugh.
Infrastructure.
That defense, Lamar Jackson. I just think they have the pedigree to get it done. I feel like Cleveland Browns are still the little brother in the division. I think they go into this season with so much expectation. And honestly, outside of Tampa Bay, Cleveland has a legit case for having the best roster from top to bottom. But it reminds me of, I want to say, the 2011 Eagles, when they were super stacked coming into the season. Everybody, they just paid big bread for Nnamdi Asamoah. Yeah. You had Shady McCoy and Mike Vick and D-Jax and Jeremy Maclin, and they shit the bed.
They did.
So I have nothing objectively to really base that off of. But I think it's going to be too much pressure for them. I think they'll miss the playoffs entirely.
CJ, what does Le'Veon Bell do this season in this offense? Is he a factor?
He'll have some effect, but not much. No, but the Gus Bus is going to be on a roll.
Over like under 1,200 rushing yards, Gus Bus.
He on Miss Frizzle level. He might have more than that.
Ooh, you remember Miss Frizzle? Right, somewhere right at 1,200.
Magic school bus? Hell yeah. Ain't going to be the magic school bus this year.
I think he's Lamar.
Original Naughty America, you know?
I think we should be asking Lamar over under 1,200.
Oh, wow. So you think Lamar's going to run more?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, Lamar runs smart. He doesn't take big hits.
Sometimes he gets caught.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right.
That's a fair point, Brandon. I actually think they came into this season expecting and hoping and designing the offense so Lamar Jackson will run less. Me and Brandon, we talked about this, about how Lamar Jackson doesn't really throw it to his running backs in the flat, but instead he takes off. And in order to preserve Lamar Jackson, even though he doesn't take huge hits, you'd much rather him dump it off and let that running back those 5 or 10 yards and take that hit as opposed to yourself. And I think that was the plan because J.K. Dobbins was back there, right?
Yeah.
He's a fluid guy. He can catch out of the backfield.
Well, do you think that was the reason why they brought in Le'Veon Bell?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's Yeah. Brandon makes a great point. I think we're going to see
3,000 rushing yards in that offense. And all the receivers are, you know, you got Bateman, who you were going to count on.
Out to week 6 now, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, you're going to see a heavy dose of Lamar doing Lamar stuff early
on. Sammy Watkins is a much better number 2 than they've had in the last 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's already banged up, though, which isn't a shock.
It's not a shock.
The guy to watch in this offense, the sleeper,
Devin
Tyson Williams.
Oh.
Backup running back.
Really? I was looking at him the other day. I don't know much about him.
When it's all said and done, he might have 700-800 rushing yards, total yards this season. I mean, he's dynamic.
I know he's from BYU, right?
Was it BYU?
I think so. I believe it was BYU.
Because he's relatively unknown, I think, to most, like, at least casual fans at most.
You know what Jim said?
What did he say?
Excuse me, not Jim. John.
John.
John said, we like him, and he's going to play.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
All right. There we go. Well, there's plenty to go around.
He's a bigger dude, too. He's 220 pounds. Holy.
They like the thickens. So, Pittsburgh. The ultimate flame-out job. 14-0 last year? No, 12-0, and then they started losing games.
Yeah.
Big Ben.
To be fair, they played 3 games in the matter of like a week in the middle of that because of COVID. That's not true. Making an excuse for them, but that's
a good point.
There's no recovery.
You just gave them an excuse, and then you said you're not making an excuse for them.
I mean, but that was a good point, though.
It was a legit excuse.
So here's the thing. I'm not giving them an excuse. I'm simply stating a circumstance of adversity that they had to overcome. Right. So I think if memory serves, they won 2 out of 3 of those games. The biggest issue is there's no recovery time. Like you're getting it. Like you have 3 games in a matter of 7 days. You don't get to recover. And then you have to go on and finish the rest of your season. Great football teams overcome situations like that. They were not a great football team. They were a good football team that could not overcome a circumstance.
They lost Devin Bush and Bud Dupree, though. Those are two main.
It's on wax. One of our very first episodes, I blatantly stated, this is the worst 11-0 football team in NFL history.
I remember that.
Right.
That's true. So we saying a third place finish for Pittsburgh this year?
I feel like it'll be third for them. I like Cleveland, honestly, on my side of the equation. I do like them and Baltimore kind of neck and neck. And this is one of those divisions again. And this touches on what you said, Woody, a lot of competition in the AFC for which division will have 3 teams go to the playoffs. This is one of them that has that potential.
Oh, yeah.
Where 3 teams get in. Yep. So.
And here's the thing.
I like all 3 of them, but I really like Cleveland's chances. So.
Same. And here's the thing with this division, even though just like the AFC East, I love these baby Bengals. Like, this offense is exciting, man. You got the number 1 overall pick, one of the greatest college football quarterbacks of all time, Joe Burrow. We got T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd. And then you got Joe Mixon in the backfield. Like, this is a legit offense. Their line is very questionable. Hopefully Joe Burrow can survive the season, but this is a another fun team to watch. So the question I ask, Joe Burrow, Cincinnati Bengals, over under 5 wins. And is Zach Taylor under the first coach fired?
Under. Yeah, he's the first one out of there.
I'm going to say over.
I think Matt Nagy will be, but we'll get there.
We'll get there.
I think over. I think the Bengals, well, the Bengals defense is kind of sneaky.
Yeah, exactly. Jesse Bates, you were singing his praises last year preseason. He's turned into a top 5 NFL safety, arguably.
Yeah. So I feel like they're a little underrated. They're not great, but they'll do enough. And then you mentioned the offensive line. If Mixon's healthy the whole year, that's a big deal. If Jamar Chase finds his hands, that's a big deal. That's really it. I mean, they're going to have explosive games on offense. It's a matter of stopping other teams from scoring.
And look, we should also keep in mind, and I mean, use some logic and read between the lines a little bit. The Bengals did trade an offensive lineman a week or two ago for a defensive lineman. So, I mean, generally, I wouldn't expect a team to trade an offensive lineman if they're not comfortable with their starters.
This is true.
And or their depth, right? So that last week, they traded Billy Price, a former Ohio State player, for B.J. Hill, an interior lineman from the Giants. So it could be a couple things. Could be maybe they didn't feel like they were, you know, stocky enough up front on the defensive side of the ball.
Right.
So, I mean, hey.
They can do enough to win 5 or 6. They've got the pieces. Like, I feel good about them upsetting the Steelers at least once, you know? Like, they could do it.
Yeah, I could see that, too.
Yeah, in Baltimore, maybe they sneak up on them. Cleveland, it's a rivalry. That always could go one way or the other.
Now, here's last question on this division. We're moving on. Trey Hendrickson. He just has all over him. That guy, that edge rusher that has his career year. He gets the big contract, and we never see him get near 10 sacks again. I'm wondering, does Trey Hendrickson approach 10 sacks again? He has Olivier Vernon written all over him.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think maybe 7 or something like that.
I mean, this defensive line overall is a lot worse than the one he played with in New Orleans. There's not a Cam Jordan on the other side. There's not.
Well, who is the guy? I forget that. Sam Hubbard. There we go. Sam Hubbard's the guy I'm thinking of. He's solid, but yeah, it's not the same. Oh, he's from Ohio State. He's really good.
Honestly. That's why.
But he's not. This isn't the level of. This isn't the same level of defensive line. You're right.
Brandon's the ultimate Michigan fan, but he'd be crushing on Ohio State, man. He'd be having eyes. Just Googling.
Low key, hell yeah.
You gotta keep him close. Gotta keep him close, man.
All right, for our next division, let's talk about, we're flying here. Let's talk about the AFC North. Or excuse me, no, we just talked the AFC North. My bad. AFC South. Last AFC division.
This is a quick one.
Yeah, I mean, this might be the worst division in football this year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. I'm picking the Colts simply because I love Tennessee. Like, I think their offense is going to be better. You replace Corey Davis with Julio Jones. Say that out loud. Like, you replace Corey Davis with Julio Jones. You did lose Jonnu Smith, but Fursker isn't a slouch. Derrick Henry with an extra game could easily be, I mean, my prediction is he's going to have the first back-to-back 2,000-yard season ever.
And they chose Tannehill really over Brady.
Yeah, man, Brady on that offense with Henry, that would have been interesting. But Tannehill, once again, he's been amazing in that offense. He's been a top 5 fantasy starter production, but it's the play action. That was his key. He's always going to play action.
But you just picked the Colts.
Yeah, well, let me get to it. That defense, they lost all their secondary, their cornerbacks. They have no same cornerbacks that they had last year. And Malcolm Butler was like a number 16 overall in PPF. We covered that last year. They lost him, and he was like a plug and play. Now they went and they had the worst pass rush in the league. They signed Bud Dupree, who's coming off a major injury and also played on the other side of TJ Watt. So it's still wait and see with Bud Dupree. Is he up there with Trey Hendrickson? Are we going to see Bud Dupree approach the level of play he was in that Steelers system this year?
I know why. I know why you're talking about the Colts defense, because you got them in fantasy.
I'm talking about Tennessee's defense.
Oh, but you're getting to that point. No, he's getting there. I just looked it up on my phone. I'm like, I know
what he's like.
Because I.
What he's like, hey, I'm going to take all defense. The talking points at first, and then I'm going to let y'all go.
If you're playing
I was going to let y'all talk about
VR,
Indy. Yeah.
If you're playing in an outdated league like we are with a defense, Indy's a sneaky steal.
Yeah.
Listen to Brandon. If you're in a league like we are. Yeah, like with the league with standard format.
I mean,
standard was
two quarterbacks. You sound like an old man here, bro. Yeah.
Anyway,
Superflex
look,
more standard.
I'm kidding, man.
I was actually going to go with you and go Colts as well, right? And then I was like, hold up. I feel like sometimes when it's questions, then it comes down, the bottom line is, who's the quarterback? And I like Ryan Tannehill over Carson Wentz. I know, Brandon, you're making that face. I know it's complimentary football. I'm not saying defense doesn't matter.
No, I love
it. But Tennessee had
I'm with you.
Tennessee had a bad defense last year. Tennessee had a bad defense last year, and look at what they did. They were still successful. And, Woody, I need a little bit of consistency, because if Derrick Henry is running for 2,000 yards again, means that offense is going to be on the field a lot. And if it's going to be better, that defense might be bad, but do you really trust Carson Wentz leading the Colts offense down the field to win the game? I mean,
yes.
I don't.
Because of Frank Reich.
Man, so your faith is all the way back in Carson Wentz now, right?
It's not all the way, but it's like I'm like 90%. I really like Frank Reich. Frank Reich is the whisperer for that man. Like, look what he's done with lesser starters in the past. Like, what I saw him do with Phillip Rivers and revive him on his last year of his career was unbelievable. Because I've watched him so closely.
Him back.
We'll see. I mean, even what he looked like with Jacob Eason as the backup, he looked great in preseason too.
But I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that preseason, not having seen anything right now, I can't take an Indy team led by Carson Wentz because I haven't seen. He gave us 17 games of absolutely horrible tape, right, last year. I got to see it again before.
Remember the stat I told you the other day with Philadelphia's offensive line last year. So Philadelphia's offensive line, preseason, they were ranked to be like one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. Like they were talking like historically good numbers. And then two of the linemen of the five predicted starters from the preseason only played one game together last year. So they had nobody. He was just – there were bodies in front of him. They were more like blocking bags. And guys just running right around him. Man had no protection. He was running for his life. And he's going into an offense now with – he's Welcome to the NFL. Exactly. But now he's got Quentin Nelson doing pancakes. Now he's got who's the dude from Kansas City that got injured before the Super Bowl last year? They brought him in.
Remmers?
No. The right tackle. He was a high draft pick. And he was kind of a bust, but then Andy Reid recycled. But anyways, he's got a much better offensive line.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Blanking out on that.
Because it's a right tackle that was injured.
No big deal.
I know.
Yeah. Here, let me look it up real quick.
I know, because CJ, is it the guy with the Achilles injury, right? Why are we blanking on this?
Yes, it was. He was a high draft pick, too. This is
super basic name, too.
CJ was ragging on him, too.
Yeah.
He'll never be the same. And I argued against it. He'll be the same, I promise.
What is Achilles on that?
Eric Fisher.
There you go.
There we go, Eric Fisher. Super
basic. Former Michigan transfer, by the way. Mm-hmm. Throw that plug in there. Another one.
But also, like Brandon said, alluding to, I think the reason that Indianapolis is going to be in every game is because their defense. They have Darius Leonard. You got Buckner. You got a decent secondary. Like they're built from the middle up, and that's how I like a defense to be built.
There you go. I like that. Good. I like everything you just said. That's all. That's all we need on this division. Tennessee is going to win the division. There's no argument unless Deshaun Watson makes it happen, actually plays, which probably isn't going to happen. He's going to get traded.
Got any Quiddy Pay predictions, Brandon?
Nah, I mean, I feel like he's going to be good. I don't imagine. I can see him being great down the line. I don't see him being, I don't know.
Under 7 sacks.
Oh, yeah, he can do that.
Okay. Over. It wouldn't be a bad bet to put, I don't know what his odds are to win Defensive Rookie of the Year, but I know they're probably that's not a good that high. Bet. But if you throw $100 on it, you can win a lot. Quiddy Pay, out of all rookie defenders, had one of the best preseason grades of all defenders. So
did he really?
So, I mean,
he wasn't even a full-time starter at Michigan. Believe that.
Yeah. And him playing, and Michael Parsons had really good preseason grades.
And remember what playing with a defensive tackle like DeForest Buckner, like an all-pro, like this is a top-5 lineman on the planet, does for a young defensive end like that. He's going to have single coverage out there on the edge. He's quick. That can help a lot.
Right. He was a situational guy in Michigan. He would come in on those key third down moments, and then they started. He developed over time, by the way. I mean, incredible story, his background, all that, if you want to look it up. But he is a guy that came in situationally and made tons of plays. So,
all right. Close. So CJ's going Tennessee. Brandon and I are going Indianapolis. I imagine.
No. I'm going Tennessee.
Are you going Tennessee? All right. I'm on an island.
Everybody choking on Indy, but picking Tennessee.
Yeah, but maybe the logic's there.
I'm going Tennessee. I don't think you can stop that. I don't think you can stop that offense. That
all
defense
alone.
Is trash. But
I gotta go back through and write all this down.
I'm on Colts Island over here. All right, but here's the fun part. Let's talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And you just trashed Indianapolis too. You just trashed them, and then you're picking the Indy Colts.
Wait,
you're trash
Indy? I mean, if Tennessee's defense does not improve, then that's super real. If Carson Wentz is even adequate, you know, in the run game, and India's good, and the defense is what it is, then I could see
the fact. But, and Carson Wentz's mobility brings a different aspect to this offense.
Like he's a good athlete.
He is. Yeah. He is with that line to be able to take off and run like they haven't had that the past few years. It brings a whole new factor.
Do the Texans win a game? Did you even bring that up?
I was going to get to that. We're going to do the Jaguars first, and then I was going to do over. Well, let's do it right now. Over under the Texans, 2 wins.
Over.
Over. They'll manage
under.
To.
Under.
Tyrod, man. He'll
that
be
defense,
efficient.
Bro.
He won't turn the ball over.
Okay, I got a challenge for you. I'll Venmo you $5 right now if you can beat it. Give me 5 starters on the Texans defense.
On the Texans defense? I can't.
I can't exactly. Off the top of my head
that's,
right
that's
now.
I can give you Lonnie Johnson. That's all I can give you.
Yeah, I'm telling you. That's 2 wins right there. When you can't name a starter on the defense, it's bad.
You weren't confident, though, because you just said $5 in Venmo. That means you got confidence in me.
There's more. I got confidence in you, and I'm broke. So.
I feel that.
But that's Texas is under 2 wins. You can't name a defensive starter. I'm good. I don't want no.
What about
part
the Jags?
The Jags. I mean, let's talk about the Jags. Like, there's real concern here. Real like, quick. It seemed like a whole new the promised land. We got Urban Meyer coming in to build a franchise over here. He's never done it. He's one of the greatest college quarterbacks of all time. Coming in,
coaches,
and we got one of the greatest college quarterbacks of all time coming in. It's a whole new world, and then all of a sudden, Urban started tasting the milk started tasting sour.
A brand new place I never knew.
Yeah,
breaking the song.
ETN's foot in a boot.
Yeah,
like they're hitting the early sign when a new coach when the He's ship done. Starts turning left. On the first bad things that happen, that's not a good sign. That's not
couple,
a good sign.
Couple yo. Bad decisions that kind of, at first I'm like, culture is going to change and he's going to do this and that. And then the bad decisions started happening, which told me enough. I'm like, okay, the strength coach situation, you hired a racist strength coach as if you didn't do enough research to think about
Talk
that.
About
then you had to fire
fans.
Him. Yeah, literally from Iowa. So you end up doing that. That was the mistake right there that told me where's the oversight in his mind state at, especially in the NFL where you can lose a locker room in a hurry. I do think that they'll win 3 or 4 games. They've got some talent, but I do believe Urban might be like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. Any college teams are going to come running.
That's
the
better over under for this circumstance. Not an over under for wins, Over under how long Urban Meyer's season's coach for the Jaguars.
Yeah, this might be it. One and done, and he's at Florida State.
Come to Southern California, Urban. Everything's better there.
He'll be at Florida State or Miami. In
USC, baby.
And it'll be domination.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Man, Urban could do something in Florida State. Dude.
He'll be whooping up on Florida and his old assistant.
It'd be nice to see the U come Dan back, too. I love it when the U is a contender.
I don't think Urban Meyer would.
I don't know if he would go back to Florida. I think he would go to USC before he went to Florida State or something. But who knows?
I think he'd like to create a power because that's what he did. He brought the Big Ten back. I think he'd like to bring the Pac-12 back to.
He might be looking at the tea leaves a bit, thinking, "All right, where is the Pac-12 headed? How's this going to look?" Sure, USC is a school that will not be left behind, even if they have to join the Big Ten, which has been discussed. USC in the Big Ten, like that would be the most insane thing ever, but it's realistic, right? Could happen.
Yeah. But we're talking NFL. This is how bad things are. We're talking about Urban Meyer legitimately returning to college, and he's on like a 5-year contract. We really see him ditching ship already. We're on an NFL podcast talking about his next job, and he hasn't even played a game yet.
Right. Yeah, I've been feeling this way for a little while now. I started changing the tune as soon as he made that decision. I'm like, this does not even make sense. He's not
over under 4 wins, Jaguars.
Oh, under.
I think they can get there to 4. I don't think they can.
Because the division they play in.
Yeah, they'll be able to. I think they beat the Texans.
Does this ruin Trevor Lawrence's career? Because he fell into the worst spot?
No. I think that's the thought process that might be going into this is too many years of Urban Meyer and this staff. If he doesn't, if he stays, he's going to have to hire a new staff. I know that sounds outlandish, but you're going to have to find a way to create something that fits him perfectly. Guys, I'll be honest with you. The offensive coordinator for the Bills is going to be the hottest commodity. And if you wanted to move on from Urban Meyer, pay him his buyout and move on.
Perfect for Trevor.
He'd be perfect for Trevor Lawrence, and teams are going to be running for that dude.
I'm telling you, man. Jerry's out on Trevor Lawrence for me. I don't know, man.
We won't be calling Trevor Lawrence a bust for at least another 4 or 5 years. We ain't calling Sammy D a bust yet.
True, but he had Adam Gase as a coach.
We're not calling Sammy D a bust yet. He was with the Jets, first pick, spent 4 years there, or 3 years, nothing. Yeah. Now he's getting a second chance already because he was a number one pick, and people still believe in him, right?
Even if Trevor Lawrence doesn't have an
ideal first 3 or 4 years, it's going to be someone out there who's going to be like, you know what? We think you still have talent. Here's a shot.
For sure.
My mama says, you know that I ain't living right. I'd rather chase my dreams than live with regrets. Sometimes I think I let my demons get the best, but God be watching me with every step. So many nights, man, I was stressing and finessing, had to hustle to acquire a check. Man, I'm just glad that I'm allowed to tell my story. What's the testimony without